Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen. The word of God we consider this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Here's your second trivia question for the night. On what day in the church here do we usually hear that reading? Anybody? Palm Sunday. I heard it somewhere. Palm Sunday. This is the account of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So why on earth are we reading it for the first Sunday of Advent, you might wonder? It doesn't seem to have much to do with Christmas. Well, a couple of things. First, it's not Christmas. Yeah, our trees might be decorated. Shopping is well underway for some of us. I'm not there yet. And we've got our decorations up and the radio stations are playing their music, but it's not Christmas. It's Advent. Advent, a word that means coming, a time for the church to reflect on the ways which Jesus has come, is coming, and will come again. The other thing related to this is that this reading does have everything to do with Advent and with Christmas, if you think about it. Jesus came to earth, born in Bethlehem, for this reason, so that he could come to his royal city to be acclaimed as the king, and we know how the rest of the story goes, so that he could die. And there are actually three ways during Advent that we think of Jesus coming. His first coming in humility, his first advent, is his birth in Bethlehem, his life and his death. He came in humility. His second coming is in the future, but the third way in which we think of his coming is right now in the present. He comes to us still in word and sacrament, and we anticipate that future coming when he will come in glory. Now, all along the way, from the first coming till now and into the future, he's misunderstood. In his first advent, Jesus came in humility with mercy for all. And as the Christmas hymn says, "Mild he lays his glory by," right? He puts his glory aside, comes to earth wrapped in that humble mantle of human flesh, and didn't fully reveal his identity as God. Not until the cross and the resurrection did that happen. So people mistook him in all sorts of ways. They thought he was a blasphemer, claiming to be something he wasn't. They thought he was a lunatic, even saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? Don't we know him? Where did he get these powers? Why is he saying these things?" He was misunderstood in other ways, too. We might remember when he asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, some people are saying that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Others say that you're Elijah. Some others, Jesus, are saying that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And notice that these aren't bad answers. It's not like they're saying he's a terrible person. They're kind of compliments. But Jesus doesn't say they're the right answer either. He didn't say, "Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that everybody thinks I'm a prophet back from the dead." No, he turned to Peter and he asked him, "Well, what about you? You know me better than that. Who do you say that I am?" And his answer is the right one. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Jesus affirmed the correct answer. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Here, in our text for today, we read how Jesus entered Jerusalem mounted on a donkey, to shouts of Hosanna, to a royal welcome. But even here, notice the multitude doesn't quite understand what's going on. They know that he's coming to Jerusalem. They say the right words, right? He was a king. He was going to save them. He did come in the name of the Lord, all correct things to say, but not in the way that they expected it would happen. When asked who Jesus was, the crowd said, "Well, he's the prophet from Galilee." Not bad, but not quite there either. Some probably saw him as a liberator, someone who would free them from Roman domination. But he was not merely a prophet, and he also didn't come to Jerusalem that day to fight. A donkey was considered a royal mount, but not one fit for battle. If you were going out to war or coming back from a victory, you'd ride on a horse. A militaristic king like David would ride a horse when he went out to fight. But it was David's peace-loving and wise son Solomon who rode to his enthronement on, you guessed it, a mule, a donkey. Little did they know on that day that Jesus came in peace. Little did they know that he had a purpose for coming to Jerusalem, that by the end of the week, he would willingly give himself over to the temple guard, that he would be dragged before Caiaphas and Pilate and Herod, that he would quietly accept an unjust sentence of death by crucifixion. He was the king who came not to conquer, but to be conquered, and in so doing, to vanquish death and sin for us. Jesus' first advent, then, was characterized by humble service, an offer of peace from God, and grace for sinners. But as I said, there's this ongoing advent that we can celebrate even now. Jesus, yes, he's sitting at the right hand of God, but that doesn't mean he's not here with us anymore. He continues to come to us today. He still comes with the same humility, the same offer of peace and grace. Now the church has assumed the role of the multitudes. We even speak the same words that the crowd did on that day, that Hosanna. It's no accident that we sing these words, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We sing it as part of the service of the sacrament. Back then, they used those words to welcome Jesus into their midst, into Jerusalem. Today, we use those same words to welcome Jesus into our midst at the altar. First, he came in human flesh, born in that lowly setting, riding to his royal city, humble and mounted on a donkey. But now he comes to us under the simple forms of bread and wine, word and water. He's not among us in his full glory yet, but he gives himself to us in a way that our finite senses can receive him. Now, of course, he's still misunderstood today, maybe even more so than he was when he first came. If you were to ask the question, who do people say that Jesus is? You've got an almost infinite number of possibilities. Jesus was a wise teacher. Jesus was a prophet, which is what our Muslim friends would say. Prophet, but not the Son of God. Jesus didn't exist at all, is what some would say. Jesus was a good person, but the miracles and the resurrection were all made up. Jesus is a convenient good luck charm that I can call upon when I need him, and then the rest of the time I can ignore him. The religion of my generation and other people around my age is called moralistic therapeutic deism. In other words, millennials as a whole see religion summed up in those three words, moralistic therapeutic deism. It's moralistic. In other words, if there's a God, he wants me to be nice. It's therapeutic. If there's a God, his role is to be like a therapist, is to make me feel good about myself. And it's deism, that if there's a God, he's distant. He's not connected with the everyday goings-on of my life or the world. He doesn't care who I sleep with. He doesn't care what choices I make. He's only there to make me feel good about myself. Does that describe anyone you know? Does it describe you and me sometimes in the way we approach God? It very well may. And yet Jesus isn't here to beat us over the head with his word. He comes in peace. He offers forgiveness and he speaks the truth to the world, whether they will hear it or not. The gospel is not forced on anyone. And so Jesus' ongoing advent is still characterized by humility an offer of peace from God and grace for sinners. But now there is that third way that Jesus comes, what we call the second coming, the second advent. That's the one that we're waiting for, the one that we're praying for. As we light our candles, as we mark our calendars, we hope for that second coming. And that's a coming that will not be like the first one, as we sang in the hymn just now, not as of old a little child, but he's going to come in glory, not in humility, but glory. His humility will be cast aside. He'll reveal himself completely and plainly to the entire world. At that time, there's not going to be any more misinterpretation. There won't be any more mistaking him, but every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess that he is God. Then believers will shout again with a Hosanna. Hosanna, that word meaning save us now, and he will save us. What he began in Bethlehem, what he continued on the cross and the empty tomb, what he gave to us as a gift in our baptism, what we receive in word and in Holy Communion, on that day will be complete. Our hope will be realized. We'll be able to see it and touch it. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he came on a donkey. When he returns in glory with his angel armies, he's going to come ready to battle for us. Listen to this description of Jesus from Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we remember his first advent, as we celebrate his ongoing coming to us, and as we hope for his second advent, we join the crowds today acclaiming, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.